once again. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Romans chapter 12. If you're taking notes this morning, I've entitled the sermon, Your Purpose. I encourage you to take notes this morning. Romans chapter 12. This is Paul writing a letter to the Romans, starting in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What Paul is saying in this verse is that no one's better than anybody else, and you shouldn't think that, because we're all made equal. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. None of us have the same purposes in life. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you bless us with. Thank you for giving us all safety to come out here and to learn from your word. And thank you for the freedoms to come to church every day. And some countries do not have this freedom. And we thank you for the liberty in our church. We thank you for the many men and women that are serving on our fronts and those that have served. We thank you for the blessings that you bless us with each and every day. And we ask that you be with us as we go throughout the rest of this day and into the next week. Be with me as I preach here. Please speak through me. Help me not to be the focus point, but help people to focus on you and what you have to share. Please give me the words to say and give us all a good rest of the day. In your name we pray. Amen. After your purpose, I've put don't. The don'ts we see today, the first don't is don't walk away from it. Don't walk away from your purpose. The person I thought of in the Bible that walked away from his purpose the most was Jonah. So if you will, please turn to Jonah chapter 1. We'll be skipping around the Bible here a little bit, so be patient and bear with me. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God comes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, I got a job for you. You need to go to Nineveh and I want you to speak against it. But Jonah says, no, God, I'm not going to do that. So Jonah buys a ticket and he's going to run away from God. One thing that you need to learn in life is that you can run, but you can't hide. God knows where you are at all times. He knows what you think and what you see. You can run, but you cannot hide. Our purpose calls us to go somewhere. You know what? You can walk away from your purpose. You can go away from it, but God will eventually get you there. It'll take some time, but God will eventually get you to where you need to be. We see this in Jonah. Jonah, he runs away, and we all know that a great storm arises, and the crew has to throw him over the side, and he's swallowed by a great fish. 3 days and three nights later, the fish spits him out onto dry land after Jonah repents and tells God, I'm sorry. So God tells him his purpose again over in chapter 3. If you'll please flip there. Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city of a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So we see that God will eventually get you to your purpose, no matter what you do, no matter what you say. He will eventually get you there. The second don't we see this morning is don't fall away from it. Don't fall away from your purpose. The person I thought about in the Bible that fell away from his purpose was Samson. Please turn back to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. Judges chapter 16. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and she said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man." So God came to Samson at the beginning of Samson's life, and he was supposed to be a judge, but he didn't do a very good job. He fell into the sin of women. He fell into the pits. You know, we walk along the road, the flat road. That's what we should be doing, but every once in a while we see something off to the side that gets our attention. We head that way and we end up falling into a pit. This is what Samson does. God told Samson not to tell anybody about cutting his hair. But Samson did here in chapter 16 because Delilah kept pressing him, kept asking him and begging him to tell her. And finally he got sick of it and he told her what to do. And he sinned against God. You can fall away from your sin, but don't stay fallen. If you repent, God will lift you back up. We see this at the end of the chapter in verses 28 through 30. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. At the end of Samson's life, we see that he does repent, and God answers his prayer and gives him the strength one last time. And Samson dies. The third and last don't we see this morning is don't ruin it. Don't ruin your purpose. We see this in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the woman, Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So we see here that Adam and Eve, the only purpose, the only job they had to do was to take care of the garden. And there was only one rule in the whole garden, and that was, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they broke that. They broke that rule. They ruined their purpose. They ruined it for everybody down through mankind. But don't take it on them so hard. If me and you were in their position, we'd have done the same thing. But we do see here that they ruined it for everybody. It can be corrected. If you ruin your purpose, it can be corrected. It'll take some time, but it can be corrected. We see the correction made. That's the last bullet we have this morning, is the correction made. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at the perfect example of someone that obeyed the purpose that they were given. And that man's name was Jesus. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 42. Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We see here in Luke that this is the night before Jesus was to be crucified. And we see Jesus in a garden, and he's praying over a rock, and he's literally begging God to take his purpose away. Back when Jesus was a child, he knew that someday he would die on a cross for our sins. He knew this. And right before he was crucified, he was begging God to take this away and pass it on to somebody else. But he went through with it. He went through with his purpose as his Father commanded. We see this in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Starting in verse 16. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." So we do see here that Jesus did complete his purpose. But before they took him up to Golgotha, the first thing that they always did was they would whip you. I'm not talking about a whip you see on television that was a stick with strands of leather on it. On the ends of the leather, they had pieces of broken glass, of shard metal, rusty nails, anything that was sharp that could rip your skin. And whenever they whipped you with it, those pieces would stick in your skin, and when they pulled it down, it would rip your skin apart. Jesus should have died at the whipping post, but he went to the cross, where he died for the sins of you and me. He followed his Father's purpose. He didn't want to. He honestly did not want to. Anywhere on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. That's where we get the song from. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He went through with his purpose. He did it his Father's will. And now we have the plan of salvation that we can willingly and obediently come to so that he can live with us forever. Maybe you're being called to be a missionary or a preacher, or maybe even an armed forces worker, or just a regular job person. If Jesus can go willingly to his death, then we should do what he asks of us, no matter how hard. He will give us the strength. We should do what Jesus tells us to do, because he did what his Father told him to do. I have some questions before I end here today. Some of you are parents here, and maybe your kids are young adults, and they're about ready to go off to college. Are you telling them what to do? Or are you telling them, I want you to be a doctor, I want you to be a physician, I want you to go to this college or this college or this college? We shouldn't do that. what we should do is encourage our kids to pray and ask God's will, ask where He wants us, where He wants them to go, what He wants them to do, because then we will be following His will. It'll make it easier in life for us. Maybe you're here today and you are a teenager, and maybe you're still in high school or middle school. You can still be praying for what God wants you to do, who He wants you to marry, who, what college He wants you to go to, what He wants you to do. Maybe you're here today and your children are already grown up, they're out of the house, and it's too late. It's never too late. If they're up for a job opportunity at another workplace, you can tell them to pray and ask God's will, what He wants them to do at this time. Or you can encourage your grandchildren to do what I'm saying, to pray and ask God's will, to pray and ask what He wants them to do with their life. I encourage everyone that's here to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for all the blessings that You've given us. Thank You for these words, and thank You for the group that has showed up to listen, and thank You for their attention, and please bless us as we go throughout this week. Help us to do Your will. Help us not to stray far from the flock. We know we will fail, but help us to get back up. Help us not to stay fallen. Help us not to stay away. Help us to come back and repent to You and ask for Your forgiveness. Lead us where You want us, each and every one, and guide us in Your plan for life. I ask all this in Your name. Amen.